You to open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, would you stand with me? Once again this evening, this is part 3 of a series that we're looking at, The Example Church. The Example Church. This is an in-depth study that we're going to be in here on Wednesday nights, looking at the book of 1 Thessalonians. And just kind of in an expository manner, going verse by verse here, looking at the subject of the example church. That means the example would be something that we would want to follow after. This is something that you and I would want to be as a model to you and I living in 2021. And so we're going to look at the example church over the next several weeks, and I want to draw your attention to verse number 1 of chapter 1 of the book of 1 Thessalonians. The Bible says this, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, under the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. This evening, I want to once again look at the example church and really kind of laying this foundation as we have the last two Wednesday nights of this kind of beginnings here, or number one, the strong church. The strong church. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for giving Brother Bruce, Miss Gail, safe trip back. And Lord, continue to be with Shonda, uplift her. God, guide her. Lord, I just ask you to surround her with the peace that passeth all understanding. Lord, there is no doubt we come in on a night like this and we may be tired. And Father, it may have been a long day. I was talking to Brother Jeff just before service. His night is just about to begin. He's working third shift. Several others will be heading in here on second shift or just getting off work. Lord, it's just, it's a lot going on in our lives. Father, there's a lot going on in the world. But Lord, I'm thankful for a whole soccer field out there full of teenagers tonight. They're going to learn about you. Father, I'm thankful that there are classrooms in the back that are full of little kids and nurseries full of little babies. And Father, adults and college students and young adults, we're in here tonight, God, why do we gather? We gather here because we want to learn about you. We want to be like you, God. Father, I ask, Lord, that in this study this evening, in kind of a Bible study type of manner, that, Lord, what is preached and what is taught would be honor and glorifying to you. That you'd help us once again, Savior, to rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, I ask that you'd encourage us where we need to be encouraged this evening. And that Father, Cross Point Baptist Church would continue to be known as a church that is founded upon truth and founded upon the Word of God. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. As we look at this first subject here, number one, the strong church, we're going to be understanding and knowing that there is example, or this example of this church that is given to us. What makes this an example church? What makes this a church that you and I would want to model our lives after? What is it that about this church, as Paul's writing, that God would put this in the preserved word of God for you and I to read and to comprehend that this ought to be said of us today? Well, first of all, as we look at this, it is a strong church. But what made this a strong church? Well, what made it a strong church was this. First of all, it's faithful ministers. Look at verse number 1 with me here. And look at the wording here of verse number 1. It says this, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus. Now watch right here that Paul was writing, but he's not writing this letter alone. We saw last week that Silas and Timothy joined him in exhorting the church. The Thessalonica church was strong because its ministers remained faithful to the church. It is recorded several times that Paul visited the church even when he returned to the area in Acts chapter number 20 on his third missionary journey. Timothy made a special visit to the church for the very purpose of exhorting them and encouraging them and helping them through a tough time, a time where he needed to comfort the believers, but also establish some things that the church needed at that time. All three ministers are known for writing at least two letters to them here in 1 Thessalonians, but also in 2 Thessalonians in chapter 1 and verse number 1, we also see where they were exhorting and writing and being faithful to exhort these believers. And comprehend today that many churches around the globe are experiencing just this. Ministers, pastors that are faithful to the Word of God, that are faithful to a flock of believers, that are faithful and exhorting and encouraging the church of today, and not just building many kingdoms to themselves, and not just building a religion based on standards or preferences that that pastor may want behind the pulpit or in the church, but many times we find around the globe, and especially around the country, as men who are faithful to the Word of God and faithful to their families and faithful to their wife and faithful to encourage and exhort and to feed the flock. And what made this church so strong was, first of all, there was these faithful ministers, but if you're taking notes tonight, would you also write down this down, that there were faithful members. Look at verse number 1. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians. Paul did not address the letter to the church at Thessalonica, but the wording here is correct and it's perfect and it's inspired. It says, to the church of the Thessalonians. The church of the Thessalonians, these people, they were people that were brought together. These were people who were saved. These were people who knew their Lord and Savior. Without people who are committed to the Lord, this church would not have existed. And that comprehend, you say, Pastor, what does that have to do with us? Comprehend tonight that you and I, as we gather together, we gather in this building, yes. But you and I are taught often for the Word of God that, remember, it is not this building, and I love this auditorium, and I love moving in, that we moved into it, you know, over a decade ago, and I appreciate and love that Crosspoint Baptist Church is debt-free, and I'm so thankful for Pastor Defoe and Pastor Airwood and their leadership and the deacons and their leadership, and I'm so thankful for a group of believers that have come together and tithed and given of offerings and above and paid off mortgages and added on wings and paid off the gym and even this summer as we move into looking at getting our coffee shop done and over here getting our parking lot finished. Look, all that's great and good, and I praise the Lord for it, but comprehend this, that it is not this church building that makes this the church. It is you and I as the bride of Christ. You and I are the church. That means this. If, God forbid, something were to happen in this building and we could not meet in it next Wednesday night, that does not mean that the church, Crosspoint Baptist Church, no longer exists. No, you and I are the church. If you believe that, say amen. That means you and I can still meet and we still come together. And what made this church so incredible was its faithful members. This letter is written to these people, understanding that it was not a church building, it was not a tent, it was not specifically the area that they are meeting. No, what was so incredible about this letter is that it is written to people. And friend, let me put it this way. I am thankful, Pastor Defoe, for men who have stood in this pulpit and men who have preached. And I'm even thankful, Pastor Chris, interim pastor last year, and the leadership that we've had. But comprehend that the example that we're given in this church is not just the ministers, it's not just the pastors, it's not just the preachers, but what is being commended here is the faithful church, the people, you and I attending, and you and I coming together, and you and I learning about the Word of God, and you and I strengthening our faith. families and you and I continuing to have faithful marriages and you and I, listen, on a Wednesday night, I get it. It would have been very easy just to skip out. And it would have been very easy just to, you know what, we're tired and it's been a long day and it was chilly this morning and now it's kind of hot and we could, it's 7 o'clock and do we really want to get together and put all the kids? But I am thankful. Now listen, Cross Point family, I am thankful for your faithfulness in attending. I am faithful for those who watch each and every week via live stream who, because of health reasons, are not able to make it. But I am thankful, friend, that you and I can come together as the body of believers and meet and learn about our Savior. How many have a desire to be like Jesus Christ? Would you say amen tonight? That's our goal. That's why we're here. There are several things that really weaken a church. It's building a church upon a few people or upon a few leaders. We've seen this often happen, especially in the 21st century. Be careful. We don't build a church just based on one person or one family. How many times have we seen throughout history that there are those that just are either staff-driven or deacon-driven or they build a church based on just a few? Can I remind you tonight, now just follow me, if you're saved, once again, say amen. Now let's try it again. If you're really saved, I mean, you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you say amen? Okay, that means this, that you are important at Cross Point Baptist Church. You're important. That means everybody has to be involved. Pastor Dan, I do apologize. I just come in and I was trying to get settled, but you said about someone. I apologize that I was kind of getting settled back here. There was quite a few birthday wishes, amen, over there. So I was late getting on my mic, and so I was walking back here. Brother Bert and I, and then I got in. But you said about someone that if you know them, shoot them a text or encourage them. I don't know who it was, but I'll rewind live stream and listen to it later. But understand this. You know what Pastor Dan is saying? He's saying this, that it's just not the responsibility of a deacon to reach out and encourage someone. Now, help me out. Amen. Do you believe that? We're all the body of believers. We all go through tough times. That means this. It's not just for the pastoral staff. Well, that's Pastor Ann. That's Pastor Blake. Well, that's their job. Good grief. That's why we pay them. Look, I appreciate and I love being in the ministry. But let me put it this way. All of us are the body of Christ. We've all been commissioned. That means you and I ought to be faithful in reaching out and encouraging and lifting up and being a shoulder to cry on. All of us are important. But God forbid that we ever just build Cross Point Baptist Church based on Pastor Shepherd or based on Pastor Dan or Pastor Blake or our deacons, no, or a family or two. Or, well, you know, those people, they're really talented. Let's just use them here and here and there and everywhere. No, all of us are important. We need everyone to be involved. But not only that, building a church on a few people, but also failing to involve and use gifts of other members. Listen, that's not just up to a pastor. Well, I guess Brother Jim, because you and I talk about it every day. I'll just use you and you. No, listen, that's not up to a pastor. Do you know it is up to you and I to determine that, hey, God has given me a spiritual gift. God has given me a gift, and I want to be involved, whether beginning the gospel out, or whether, I'm not sure who's in the nursery tonight, but I praise the Lord for the ladies every week that are down in our nurseries. And look, it's a gift of just going back there and keeping the nursery, or maybe it's straightening the chairs, or welcoming somebody in the back, or maybe it's teaching a Sunday school class, or you know, we get the choir back, being involved in the choir, or singing, or playing a piano. Listen, friend, it's up to all of us not to compare gifts. Well, you know, Brother Jim's really blessed because he can do so-and-so, and you know, he can run that mower like the best of them, and so I just can't be involved in anything else. No, Brother Jim, it's not for you and I to compare gifts. It's just to comprehend that you and I both are important as a body of believers, and that God is going to use the gifts that he's given you and I, and we just have to be faithful in using those gifts. Be faithful in it. Well, Pastor Shepherd, I know that's what you think, and I know that's maybe your philosophy. No, friend, that is not my philosophy. You see, the Word of God says this, "For I say, though through grace given unto me and to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another." Ephesians says it like this, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." It is faithful members. It is you and I realizing that we can't build it on one family. You and I cannot fulfill the Great Commission just one person by ourselves. But friend, if you and I come together realizing that the ground is level at the cross, that we are all sinners saved by grace, that you and I have a God in heaven and a great cloud of witnesses that is cheering us on. Friend, may we come together for the common cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's faithful ministers, it's faithful members, but watch this. It's also founded in God. It says this in verse number one. Look at the wording here. "In God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ." This is a distinctive belief upon which the church is built. You see, you and I, now watch. Everybody knows the verse. If you've been saved for a period of time, you know the verse, John 3:16. In fact, let's say John 3:16 together. I'll give you a hint, "For God so loved the world." Okay, let's say it all together. John 3:16. Ready, set, go. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, that was written a long time ago, but if you believe that's true, would you say amen? Okay, now watch. You see, you and I believe that God the Father sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to save us from perishing and to give us eternal life. As biblicists, you and I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus was not just a good man. Jesus was not just a prophet. Jesus and Allah are not equal. Jesus is God. Jesus is the only begotten Son. Jesus conquered death. You and I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Messiah and Savior who had been promised from the very beginning of history. Now watch very carefully. That means this: a church that is not founded upon God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is not a true church. No matter what it calls itself, no matter what sign they put up in the yard, it is just really a created fellowship. It is a man-created gathering. It is a man-created assembly. It's a created body. It is a man-created meeting. It is a man-created worship. May you and I at Crosspoint not ever just come in, watch very carefully, and play church. I'm not interested in putting on a facade. I'm not interested in coming in and playing religion. You and I ought not to be interested in coming in and standing upon some soapbox that some man has created. You and I ought to be interested in just the standards of everyone else and what the preference and living up to everyone else's expectation. But what you and I ought to be interested in is what thus saith the Lord. What does this Bible say? What does the Bible say about God and Jesus and the local assembly coming together and worshiping him? Friend, that's what you and I ought to be grounded in. Why? Because it's Bible. Gentlemen, the moment we get away from the Bible, you might as well write Ichabod on the doors, because we've shooed the Holy Spirit right out of here. I, as your pastor, I ask for prayers that we at Crosspoint Baptist Church not cave to just everything culturally that is politically correct. Friend, let me tell you, the Bible and politics are not always going to get along. If you believe that, say amen. And the world that you and I live in today is already here. Just we praise the Lord for it. We've got a conservative kind of red state right now, and I praise the Lord for that. But I'm telling you, friend, we make fun of California a lot, and people say, well, you're from California. Look, friend, I'll just be honest. I lived there for 3 years. I did not grow up there. I did not have their politics. I was there for 3 years. But I will tell you this. What happens in California will eventually come this way. And a lot of times it's already here. It's already here in our school boards. It's already here in our politics. It's just now people are having the boldness to come out and really kind of show their true colors. So let me tell you something, friend. You and I got to show our true colors. This word is a sword, and it should not be put in its sheath, and let's back down and let's cower, and well, all the other churches, you know what they're doing, friend? May I tell you, I'm not interested in what every other church out there is doing. I don't have time to even comprehend or try to argue what they're doing and what they're doing, what they're doing. Friend, I've got a flock right here, and I want you to pray for me as a pastor that we never get away from what thus saith the Lord, that we don't compromise on the belief standing on what God's word says to do or what not to do. You and I ought to be founded in God, founded in that word, and no matter what comes our way, no matter what they want to shove in our family's face, no matter what they call us, and it's coming, friend, bigots and the rest of it, and no matter what they call us, friend, may you and I always be founded upon the word of God, because when we're founded on the word of God, it doesn't matter what everybody else is saying, we will always be right. Amen. How many like to be right? Say amen. Doesn't it feel good? Like you get in an argument. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. No, it's what it says. It says. Well, I'm going to Google it right now. And they Google it, and you can see it all over their face. Oh, you were right. And you're like, yeah, I knew it. But on the inside, you're like, I'm not the only one. You know you're out there. Me and Carrie, we might be the only ones, right, babe? But I'm telling you, the rest of you know it feels good to be right. Guess what, friend? I don't care what Fox News says or CNN. When you stand on this, you'll be right. Because this has never been wrong. It's inerrant. It's inspired. It's preserved. It's from God. It's His Word. It's the Bible. Founded in God. But watch this. It was also founded with gifts. Look what it says here at the end of this first verse. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a strong church possesses God's supreme gifts. What are these gifts? Well, it's grace and it's peace. You see, grace in our English language means this: the undeserved favor and blessings of God. Note the exact wording of this verse is this: grace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace comes from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God pours out His grace upon the church that commits itself to biblical doctrine. What's that biblical doctrine? Well, we just seen that God is our Father and that Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this in Ephesians chapter 1. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 14. And grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. When it comes to this doctrine, watch, may Crosspoint never stop believing. Well, stop believing what? That God is our Father and that Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that, say amen. That's when you and I see that this grace that God has is poured out to you and I. And may I say this? Look, I know some of us have gone through some rough times, and maybe you had a rough year, but aren't you thankful for the grace of Jesus Christ that is upon our lives each and every day? We ought to be thankful. We should. Our God is a gracious God. Our God bestows so many gifts upon us. If you and I just stopped and just thought about the grace that God gives us, this grace that He has bestowed upon our life, just being saved, well, we could pause right there and worship and praise Him all night long and through next week and the months ahead. It's this grace, but also this peace. Peace means to be bound, joined, and woven together. It means to be assured, confident, and secure in the love and care of God. Now watch, don't tune out here. Listen, this peace, it's bound. It means joined, woven together. It means to be assured and secure in the love and care of God. It means that this peace that you and I have, it means to sense and know that God is going to guide us, and He's going to provide for us, and He's going to strengthen and sustain and deliver and encourage. We have peace that He's going to empower. He's going to bless us. This is the point. The point is, a strong church is a body of believers who know and experience the peace of God as they walk throughout day by day living in the world that you and I live in. For John chapter 14 and verse number 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 16, 33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." A strong church is going to be known, and listen now very carefully, by the peace that you and I have. Do we go through hard times? Do you feel like in your life you've ever gone through a period or a time where it was kind of a valley in your life? If that's you, just say amen. Can you say amen? Ever struggle with health? Sure. Bills, yep. No, I don't think, well, I don't know if it's for sure, but I don't think any of us were born just millionaires and inherited millions. It'd be pretty great. And if you are one of those people, I want to talk to you about a parking lot right out here. So see me right after church, okay? But nonetheless, we have heartaches. We have bills. We have trying times. I mean, but Jim, I don't know why I keep talking to you, but I do love you, brother. Listen, you know that. I turned 38 today. I'm getting older. It's amazing, isn't it? Some people are saying I'm still young, but let me tell you, I don't always feel super young. I mean, I'm 38 now. Why are you laughing? I'm 38. These old bodies break down. We go through tough times. We go through heartache, Brother Bob. We go through trials and tribulations. We go through death. Death's not easy. You know, it's probably, Brother Bruce, if you don't mind me saying this, probably one of the hardest funerals to go to is the death of a child. It's really tough. Really hard. A parent that's elderly, a grandparent that's elderly, it's going to come. We know at the end of the life, somebody's gone through all the stages of cancer. We understand, Pastor, it's going to happen. They're going to pass away. You know, it's really hard. Is standing somewhere and seeing a little casket. It plays with your mind. It's tough. Scale, it's tough. You know what I love about this family? They have peace knowing they're going to see that little boy again one day. We're going to see him. That song tonight, I'm sure, meant a lot. "Face to face, I shall behold him." Isn't it funny? The whole world. Oh, and I've already told you, I was right there with them for a little while. Whole world, Pastor Chris, back and forth, coronavirus. Oh my goodness, we got whole world, everybody's turmoil. You know, honestly, if we look back, Brother Tom, Miss Liz, we probably should not have been as concerned or worried or stressed out as we were. Pastor, how could you say that? I get it. I'm not just on a political speech, okay? Do and take what you want, and whether you're a vaccine person or a essential oil person. I do not care. You do your thing. But I'll tell you this.
we should have had a peace that if God took all of us in this church, we would have just all seen each other in heaven. Amen. How cool is that? I mean, isn't that a peace? Yeah, yeah. To know, Brother Sean, that if we go, we go. Our time's going to come. We don't always have everything in common. We know that. I've talked about it with Pastor Defoe before. We all have different preferences and different sports teams, and we dye our hair different colors, ladies, and we all got our flavors. But let me tell you what we all have in common. We're all going to spend an eternity somewhere. I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. I have a peace. It's okay. If I was, God forbid, to have a heart attack right here, bust a gut, and I'm just gone, I'm in heaven for all eternity. Hey, guess what? I'm going to take care of my wife, take care of my kids, but I'm going to see my Savior face to face. Friend, no matter what you're facing, comprehend this, that God is here for you and I. He's guiding and he's directing us. What a peace. What a peace. When you and I take a step back, it is amazing how if we just think about it, it's really that easy. The grace he bestows upon us, the peace, it kind of for a moment takes everything that we complained about walking in the doors, whether it was over a parking spot or the parking lot, or it's too cold in here, or it's too hot in here, or, you know, you forgot about Pastor's birthday, whatever the case might be that you forgot about. Whatever it was that you, I'm totally joking, by the way. If you're, whatever it is, doesn't when you start thinking about the peace of God, it just kind of feels good, doesn't it? Found it in gifts. I'm just going to finish with this one, but I really do feel like this is a great place to end tonight. But watch this. It's founded with prayer. Look at verse number 2 and we'll be done. But don't shut your Bibles, but we'll be done. It says this: we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. You see, a strong church stirs prayer. It is a crucial trait. For God has ordained prayer to be the medium through which he blesses. Matthew says it this way: in all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. John said, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. You see, prayer requires presence and sharing and talking. And that's God's desire for you and I, is to have this local body of believers, you and I, coming together and talking and communicating with God. Friend, I'm afraid that few people heed this fact. I'm afraid in the United States of America, few Christians sitting in the pew today really take prayer seriously. We talk of revival. We talk of our churches growing. We talk of restored marriages. We talk of putting missionaries on the field. Our talk is big and our prayer life is very small. See, you and I have to be founded in prayer. You and I ought to have a type of prayer life that I know we pass these out, or Miss Nicole sends them out digitally if you prefer it that way. But comprehend that this is not just a Pastor Dan showtime to get up and to walk us through. Do you know why we hand these out? Because we can't. The hour would be full. There's no way we could go through every name. You know what this is for? For you and I to take and to pray. To walk through, to pray for each other. Can I share my heart as a pastor just for a moment? I know that it is popular today in many churches, culturally in America, not to have an altar call anymore. I don't know if you knew that, Pastor Foe. There's a lot of churches, even Baptist churches, it's kind of a thing of the past now. It's old timey, we don't need to do it anymore, and it wastes time. And to be honest, I don't believe if we stopped doing it that I'm going to stand before the Lord one day and be judged because we didn't have an altar call. But I tell you why I do really prefer it. It's this: God speaks to us through the message. We're convicted and we're encouraged. And I love a time that we get to then talk back to God. Communication with him. We're talking about marriage on Sunday nights. Can I say this? No marriage is ever going to make it if the man and the woman do not, do you know what I'm going to say? Say it out loud. Communicate. Do you know that God wants that communication with him? It's why I press us, come down to an altar. Let's talk to God. We can't kneel, and I know, I just want to commend. I thank you for the elderly that are in here, and you step out, and you come, and maybe you just stand, or maybe you just, you sit up here. I'll just be honest with you, it might not be your thing, and that's okay, but there is something about getting on my knees and talking to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just something about it. There's something about pausing. And on Wednesday nights, Pastor Chris, I always say, just right at your seat, because usually we're in overtime and everybody's waiting out in the hall. So just, hey, where are we sitting, just talking to him? But no matter if we're up here or right here or standing or whatever we're doing, I think we ought to take that time and be founded in prayer. Talk to him. Friend, he wants to talk to you. He desires that fellowship. You ever desire, you ever gotten lonely in your life? You ever had a moment like that? Lonely? You know where discouragement often starts is by being lonely. It leads to depression. We talked about this two Sundays ago. You know, if we talk to God, we'll have somebody that is always there. Amen. Your spouse may not always be there. Your mom may not always be there. Newsflash, your phone battery doesn't last forever. It's going to go out. And I hope it's in church. But I'll tell you this, God doesn't have a battery that goes out. Amen. That line's always open. Amen. And he's ready to talk to us. Founded in prayer.